Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, everyone, to 1001 Radio Days. Happy St. Paddy's Day, everyone. This is your host, John Hagedorn, and I've got something quite different for you today. And that's some really good St. Patrick's Day shows from old-time radio. That's radio in the days before TV, when radio was the prime source of entertainment for folks, and they would gather as a family to listen to radio shows for humor, music, variety, and after the kids went to bed, crime shows and drama. As most of you know, I have two old-time radio shows, one at 1001 Radio Days and my second at 1001 Radio Crime Solvers. Those shows launch new episodes every Sunday at noon Eastern Time and Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Wishing you a safe and happy St. Paddy's Day. And now, on with the show. The first show is called People Are Funny, hosted by Art Linkletter, and this was taped St. Patrick's Day, 1953. Enjoy!
This is your last chance.
Your last chance to make $1,000 cash on
People Are Funny.
Yes, transcribed from Hollywood, John Goodell's production of People Are Funny, brought to you by Milky Way and Forever Yours Candy Bars, both quality bars made famous by Mars. And now, here is radio's top master of ceremonies, Art Linkletter.
Hello there. Sure and begotta, this is St. Patrick's Day, in honor of the good saint who drove the snakes out of Ireland. And you know where they came. And tonight we're going to drive some of them back out of Hollywood. Well, anyway, I hope the luck of the Irish is with all of you, because this is the last week of our big $2,000 contest. Now, it's a $1,000 cash first prize, or one of 10 $100 cash prizes. We'll tell you how you win them a little later. Right now, Roy Rowan, who's first on the Milky Way show from Hollywood?
Mrs. Lou Etta Nelson from Rockland, Idaho. Meet Art Linkletter.
How do you do, Mrs. Nelson?
How do you do?
Mrs. Nelson, I'm going to guess about you. I'd say you've been married for 8 years.
No.
How many?
Six.
And I'd say you have two children.
Yes.
A boy and a girl.
Yes.
Boy five and a girl three.
No. Boy four and a girl three.
Well, that wasn't bad for guessing. And Mrs. Nelson, I'm going to guess some more. If your husband's an average husband, he likes steak, potatoes, and apple pie.
Good.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And you cook for him?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And when you do serve him dinner and cook dinner, he raves every night about the food and the service.
Ho, ho, ho.
Sounds like they've been married longer than that. Well, doesn't he ever leave you a tip on the dinner table?
No, he does not.
Well, I tell you, he sounds like the average American husband. And you sound like the average American wife who's a little tired of it all. And how would you like to have an average husband? He likes steak, potatoes, and apple pie.
Good.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And you cook for him?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And when you do serve him dinner and cook dinner, he raves every night about the food and the service.
Ho, ho, ho.
Sounds like they've been married longer than that. Well, doesn't he ever leave you a tip on the dinner table?
No, he does not.
Well, I tell you, he sounds like the average American husband. And you sound like the average American wife who's a little tired of it all. And how would you like to have it all changed and get flattered and even paid for the work you do at the dinner table?
That would be wonderful.
That's good, because for the next 20 minutes, you're going to be a waitress at Mike Lyman's restaurant here in Hollywood. Yes, that's true. Mike Lyman's famous restaurant is up here in the heart of Hollywood, and where's the uniform, fellas? Bring it out here. Have you ever done any work as a waitress? Ever waited on anybody?
No.
Never had any experience like this?
No.
Well, when you volunteered, you were ready for anything, weren't you?
Yes.
All right. Now, have you ever been to New York City?
No.
Well, did you ever hear of a restaurant there where the waiters and waitresses, it's a big gag, you know, they insult the customers?
No.
Well, it's a very famous place and proves that people are funny. They go someplace to be insulted. Did you know there was a restaurant like that right here in Hollywood?
No, I didn't.
Well, there wasn't until tonight. You're going to start it. tonight, your job is to be a waitress and go from table to table. You'll be assigned one by the manager up there, Max Lerner. Now, you're going to go up there and try to insult every customer you wait on. Now, just try it out. For instance, supposing that I was a customer up there, and I said, lady, would you mind waiting on me? What would you say?
Don't get your shirt off.
Don't get your shirt off. This is a new kind of an insult. Well, that's all right. But I want you to know this is a very respectable restaurant, no? Supposing I whistled at you and said, how about some more butter? What would you say?
Don't be a hog.
That's all right, that's all right. Just be as insulting as you can, any way you want. But if you serve soup at all, be sure you know that the thumb is in the soup as you bring it in. If there's a glass of water, they always start with that. Have a few crumbs floating around on it. If anybody complains, tell them to keep quiet or everybody will want them. Now, the manager knows you're coming over. The other waiters and waitresses do not know, but just the manager, so you can't be fired. Now, no matter what anybody wants to eat, no matter what they order, you push pickled pig's feet. And here is one last thing. At this time of the evening, there are bound to be some men dining alone over there, so you pick out a middle-aged one and walk up, stand by him for a minute, Mrs. Nelson, and maybe ask him what he wants for dinner or anything. Then you stop. And you stand back and you put your hands on your hips and you say, I've told you a dozen times I won't go out with you. You're a married man. What do you think this guy will do, huh?
I don't know.
Well, we'll find out. Now, of course, this is the part that protects you, Mrs. Nelson. We are not going to get you in trouble because he'll pretend to get mad because actually he's going to be an actor we hired because we want to find out the reactions of the people around him. Irv Atkins, you drive her up to Lyman's. And remember, the only person on the gag is Max Lerner, the manager, and he'll put you right to work as a waitress. So, on your way, say goodbye to Sourpuss Sally. There she goes. Oh, a little girl from Idaho is going to have a lot of fun. Of course, we told her everything. She doesn't need to know one little tiny insignificant detail. We don't have any actor over there. No use doing it the easy way. Atkins will just point out some poor unsuspecting character sitting there. We should worry. We have lots of contestants. All right, Roy, who's the third $1,000 grand prize winner in our funny experience contest?
Art, the lucky winner is Gualterio Quinones from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And the 10 $100 prize winners have been notified by mail.
Well, there are 11 lucky people, and you too can be lucky. Now, folks, this is your last chance.
That's so right. This is positively the last week you can pick up one of Milky Way's $100 or $1,000 cash prizes that we've been giving out every week for funny stories from you. So come on, get in while the getting is good. Simply write us in 50 words or less on the subject, the funniest thing that ever happened to me. Put your name and address on your entry, enclose two Milky Way or Forever Yours candy bar wrappers, or one of each, and mail to Milky Way, Box 224, Hollywood, California. Send all the entries you like, so long as your name and address and the two candy bar wrappers are with each. But your entry must be postmarked before midnight this Saturday, March 21st, or you'll be out of the running. You'll be judged on the basis of originality, humor, and interest of the situation. Judges' decisions are final. All entries become the property of Mars Incorporated, and none will be returned. The contest is subject to all federal, state, and local regulations.
Don't forget, we're announcing the $1,000 prize winner's name on People Are Funny, April 7th. Is that you? Well, maybe something funny happened to you. Send it to Milky Way, Box 224, Hollywood, California. Last call. Who's next, Roy?
Mr. George Dolly from Los Angeles. Meet Art Linkletter.
Hello, Mr. Dolly. Linkletter? Mr. Dolly, what do you do for a living?
Well, I work for Midland Properties Construction Company.
I'd say you're a man of 35.
Pretty close, 33.
33, married for 7 years.
12 years.
12 years, uh-huh. 5 children.
No one.
What do you do at the Midland Properties Construction Company?
Oh, I work as a clerk in their office.
Uh-huh. That's the outfit, ladies and gentlemen, we sent a lot of tickets to. You have some people here with you from...
Yes, I do.
Is your boss here with you, Mr. Dolly?
Well, he just happens to be, yes.
Oh, he came along with the rest of the workers.
Yes.
What's his name?
Mr. Lushing.
Is he a nice boss?
Very nice.
Very nice, huh? You said that so easy, I don't know. Is he nice? Have you given it a lot of thought?
Yes, matter of fact, I have. He's a very nice man.
Does he give you a month's vacation, I suppose, with double pay every year?
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt.
Does he?
Why, sure.
He is a nice boss. Does he give you a $100 raise every 6 months?
No, no, not exactly.
Does he share the profits at all?
No.
He isn't so nice as we made out at the start. Of course, you do call him a nice boss. What's his name?
Alfred Lushing.
Alfred Lushing. Now, the reason I ask that is that while we sent out tickets to the whole group and asked him to come along, he doesn't know that we're asking him up here right now. Mr. Lushing, the boss of the construction company, would you come up? Come on. That's it. Give him a little encouragement. Mr. Lushing, would you come right over here, please? You know Mr. Dolly?
Yes, I do.
How long has he worked for you?
Oh, about 6 years, isn't it?
Oh, it's about seven now.
Seven.
7 years. Let's not cut his service down, you know. He's going for that gold watch. Now, Mr. Dolly, what's your first name?
George.
George Dolly. When employees get together, you know, during off hours, they sometimes talk about their boss, don't they?
Well, sometimes.
Yes, of course they do. All employees do. They don't say anything uncomplimentary. Maybe someone will say, gee, if I wasn't smarter than him, I'd drop dead. Have you ever said anything like that?
No, no.
But deep down in your heart, what do you honestly think?
I think he's a very smart man.
You think he's a very smart man, uh-huh. Well, as a matter of fact, Mr. Lushing, you do look like a smart man. If you don't mind, I'm going to give you a quick intelligence test devised by Professor Terman of Stanford University. If the sun rises in the east, where does it set?
In the west.
Right. The world is flat as a pancake. True or false?
False.
Watch this one. If it's 3 o'clock in New York and 12 o'clock in Los Angeles, what time is it in West Los Angeles?
12 o'clock.
He passed. Mr. Dolly, you do have a smart boss, don't you?
Oh, without a doubt.
Ladies and gentlemen, in front of the public, from coast to coast, we want to see the reactions of an employee and an employer when they are in an intelligence test against each other. We're going to settle once and for all who is smarter, the employee or the employer. Don't you think that's a good idea, Mr. Dolly?
No, I don't.
Now, look, I'm sure your boss, Mr. Lushing, wouldn't mind if you beat him. Would you, Mr. Lushing?
Oh, no. No, I think he should do his best.
Well, Mr. Dolly versus his boss, Mr. Lushing. And I'm going to start with you, Mr. Dolly. Now, answer these to the best of your ability, both of you. Who is Secretary of State?
John Foster Dulles.
Now, before I even could say in Eisenhower's cabinet, that's right, John Foster Dulles. Now to the boss, Mr. Lushing. Who's Secretary of the Navy? In 1798. I'm sorry, time's up. It was Benjamin Stoddard, as everybody knows. Mr. Dolly, which of these figures is closest to the jet plane speed record? 20 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour, or 500 miles an hour?
500 miles an hour.
And now, Mr. Lushing, to be fair, I'll give you the same type of question. What is the maximum speed of a year-old bumblebee with a 20-mile tailwind? Wait a minute, I'm not through. I'm going to give him a hint. This is a female bumblebee.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Shouldn't he have known that, Mr. Dolly?
Oh, I don't think that's a fair question.
You're being modest, that's all. Why don't you admit it? Now, Mr. Dolly, what is Harry Truman's daughter famous for? What is she? It begins with S.
Skating.
You know, that's absolutely right. The Harry Truman I'm thinking of runs a small shoemaker shop up near Lake Schenectady, and his daughter is an ice skater. It's correct. Mr. Lushing, the boss, what is President Eisenhower's wife's name?
Mamie.
I'm going to have to count that wrong. It's just half right. It's Mamie Eisenhower. Mr. Dolly, your boss could miss him, can't he?
Well, I don't think that was fair either.
Don't stick up for him. I'm trying to lose this contest. Your next question. If I had two pets and you gave me two more next week, at the end of next week, how many would I have?
12.
You're right, they're rabbits. If you said one, they'd have died.
Well, there's no use carrying this contest any further. It's kind of one-sided. What's the final score, Mr. Goodell?
Mr. Lushing, all wrong. Mr. Dolly, all right.
Well, we've settled. Who's smarter? Aren't you thrilled, Mr. Dolly?
I guess so, yes.
Yes, well, you ought to be. And Mr. Lushing, how do you feel about it?
Well, I think it's very good. The boys have to carry on the business.
In other words, you want smart employees.
That I do.
Yeah, you have to do less then.
Quite.
Uh-huh, that's a mighty sound observation. Now, would you two men accept any prize we might offer as a reward for being here tonight?
Mm-hmm. All right. Yes.
We're going to give the boss a day off from work next week. Mr. Lushing and Mr. Dolly, for your prize, you've agreed to this. Yeah. Mr. Dolly will take over the job as the president of the Midland Properties Construction Company. Won't that be fun? George?
Well, yes, it certainly will. I don't think I'll be able to do as well as he does, though.
Oh, now, you don't need to say that. You can build the houses with a different slant the day he's gone. And just to make it more fun as the boss, Mr. Dolly, while you're in the office there, when you get home, you'll find there a 21-inch console model Westinghouse television set. Whoa. You can be sure if it's a Westinghouse. How does that sound?
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you very
much. Mr. Lushing, you have a day off. To give you something to read in your day off, here's a copy of the Bobbsey Twins at Cherry Farm. A lovely book. Goodbye and thanks to both of you from Milky Way.
And don't forget to brighten your day with Milky Way.
Say, Roy, do you feel a draft somewhere?
Well, no, Art, that's our saxophone player blowing in for the fourth week. Dr. Richard Nelson with his wife and famous teacher, Freddie Martin.
Hi, folks. Hello, folks. Freddie. Hello, Doctor.
Hi, Art.
Mrs. Nelson.
Hello.
Freddie Martin, from being one of the world's most famous band leaders, you have now been a music teacher for the last 3 weeks, trying to teach a young musician, Dr. Nelson, who has never before studied any music at all, how to play the saxophone. Mm-hmm. How do you like it?
Well, Art, I'm seriously considering shipping out on a live bait barge to Bombay.
Must have been a harrowing experience. And Dr. Nelson, you don't seem to be his favorite pupil. What's the trouble?
Well, I wouldn't say he was my favorite teacher either.
After 3 weeks, how do you like him as a critic? After all, he's been the judge of your music each week.
Well, as a critic, I'm just waiting to get a chance at operate on him.
You see, the reason Dr. Nelson feels this way, we picked him out of the audience, 3 weeks ago, as a man who never studied music, and we gave him a saxophone and Freddie Martin. And after a week of practicing the Stein song, Freddie Martin had to judge whether he could play it well enough or not to get a vacation trip to New England. I remember you turned thumbs down, didn't you, Freddie?
Yes, I had to. Yeah. From a professional standpoint, I hated to do it, Art.
Oh, naturally. So we gave him a second week to try, and the doc tried to learn the sidewalks in New York for a trip to New York City. And, Doctor, do you remember what Freddie thought of your rendition of that song?
Well, it went pretty good, except the last note is sure flubbed up.
Flub is a fine word. You cracked the sidewalks in New York. Anyway, tonight, you've come back for the third week, and we're giving you another chance. Now, if you can play the tune Chicago, to Freddie's satisfaction, Milky Way will send you and Mrs. Nelson on an all-expense-paid vacation to the Windy City. What do you think of that?
Well, that's fine, but doesn't it seem like every week the trip gets nearer home?
It does. Well, you still want to go to Chicago, don't you?
Oh, sure.
All right, you've been practicing?
Yes,
I remember Dr. Nelson gets home from the hospital about 11 o'clock at night. It's the only time he has to practice. So, Doc Nelson, you are now going to try to play Chicago. And if you play it well enough, away you go. Let's hear it. Here we go. Enough. Now, Doctor, please. The Mars plant is located in Chicago, and if you have just ruined the next batch of Milky Ways, we're going to sue you. Freddie Martin, you're a perfectionist on a saxophone, perhaps one of the great saxophone players of the world. What would you say as to whether or not he's playing it well enough?
Well, Art, his embouchure is still very immature. His little playing for the tune Chicago, that was a little on the legato side. Too much rubato, I'm afraid, Doctor.
Sounds bad. I don't know what you're saying. Well, does he go to Chicago or not?
I'm afraid. I hate to do this, but I'm afraid I couldn't say yes to that.
Well, Doctor, you have worked hard now for 3 weeks, and I think you do deserve some kind of a prize. I'm going to give you one more chance. You believe me, don't you, Doctor?
Frankly, no. I've been fooled too many times already.
No, you've been a mighty good sport, and we're going to do this. In a hat that's being brought out right now are a number of songs, the names of songs. Now, if you can play just the first note, only the first note of any of the songs in that hat, Milky Way will give you and Mrs. Nelson a wonderful vacation at the place mentioned in the title of the song. Oh, by the way, you don't read music, of course. So, Freddie, he couldn't be expected to read the first note, so you just draw in the hat, just reach in there and grab one out, and tell him what the first note is.
B-flat.
B-flat. Now, Dr. Nelson, here's your chance. You play B-flat, and Mrs. Nelson and you go to the place mentioned in the title. So play B-flat and really make that sharp. What do you say, Freddie?
That's the most beautiful B-flat I ever heard in my life.
You mean to say, Freddie?
We made
the notes on that horn. He had to pick out a B-flat.
You mean to say that his embouchure is not immature?
No, sir.
And
he had it right on the nose.
His legato is not tacit?
After all of these weeks, it's a pleasure now to hear that tone come out of there. That was beautiful.
You they get the trick.
Right now.
Absolutely.
And by the way, you have the slip there. What is the name of the song you picked?
San Fernando Valley.
Well, for God's sake, that's wonderful. Boy. Now, that's Mr. Nelson, you and Mrs. Nelson will be flown on a TWA 300-mile-an-hour Transworld Airline Constellation from Los Angeles to San Fernando Valley. And while that is only a 6-mile trip by air, you do get a wonderful 8-mile bus trip to the airport.
Oh, no.
Now, you're going to vacation at the little motel. Where's the telephone? Just a minute. Hello? Hello? Yes, this is Art Linkletter. Mm-hmm. Yes, the people are funny. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I understand. Thank you. Thank you very much. That was TWA on the phone. Their planes, unfortunately, according to the schedule, do not land in San Fernando Valley. So once you get aboard, they will have to take you on across the United States to New York City. How do you like that, Mr.
Wonderful.
Miller?
Oh,
wonderful. You like that, huh?
That's really good.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. There goes the phone again. Yes, yes, this is Linkletter again. Uh-huh. Yes, oh, yes, thank you. Oh, it does. Well, okay, I'll tell him. I'll tell him, fine. Goodbye. What do you know? Something's happened again.
Oh, boy. Well, nice
Nelson?
Thinking about it anyway.
Huh?
Nice thinking about it anyway.
I'm sorry, but that plane schedule doesn't happen to stop in New York long enough for you to get your luggage off, and you'll have to go on across the Atlantic Ocean to Paris, France.
Oh.
That's right. Isn't that nice? Yes, sir. You'll go all the way across to Paris with all expenses paid, and you'll stay at the famous Georges Cinq Hotel. That's George the Fifth. That's where I stayed in Paris. You'll get a bigger room, though. You'll be near the Arc de Triomphe. You'll be on the Champs-Élysées. Oh, it'll be wonderful. And you'll really deserve it after these 4 weeks. And have a wonderful time. Do you speak French?
No, but do they understand the saxophone?
I would suggest, Doctor, that you leave the sax at home. The United States is having enough trouble with international harmony. As a matter of fact, Freddie Martin, what are you so happy about?
Well, teacher always goes with a pupil, you know, Art.
Oh, he does, huh?
Yeah. Naturally.
As a matter of fact, Freddie, I know you're kidding me, but as a big surprise to you, we have already made arrangements, and we have your ticket to Paris. Yes, the Paris Inn, right here in downtown Los Angeles.
Oh, boy.
By the way, Dr. Nelson, are you glad that you came along for the trip?
Oh, boy, it's been worth every minute of those midnight hours I spent practicing.
I can't think of anybody I'd like and enjoy more giving a wonderful prize to than a young resident doctor doing his part for everybody. So goodbye from all of us and a happy vacation from Milky Way, forever yours, and Freddie Martin, your dear friend. Say, before I forget, don't you forget, this is positively the last week you can pick up one of those big cash prizes in Milky Way's Funny Story Contest. And please make sure the two Milky Way or Forever Yours candy bar wrappers are with each entry. Of course, that should be easy enough. You'll be eating the bars before you send the wrappers, and believe me, your taste never had it so good. Your taste, mind you, because if you have that taste for light, pure milk chocolate, you simply concentrate on Milky Way. The finest of finest light pure milk chocolate wrapped around chocolate malted milk nougat and a creamy caramel layer. Yes, sir, it's great. On the other hand, folks, if you like dark chocolate better, you'll never get a better answer than when you ask for Milky Way's first cousin, the Mars Forever Yours bar. There's dark vanilla-flavored chocolate, a king-sized coating of it, and inside, vanilla nougat plus that famous creamy Mars golden caramel layer. Milky Way, Forever Yours. Cousins in good taste for your taste. Will you join me? At the beginning of the program, we sent a lady out to the middle of Hollywood to pretend she was a waitress at Mike Lyman's restaurant. Remember, she was dressed up as one. The manager was in on the gag. Her name was Mrs. Lou Etta Nelson, and she was supposed to insult the customers in that restaurant, especially one middle-aged customer who we told her was to be pointed out to her as an actor, and she was to accuse him out loud of trying to date her up. Of course, what she didn't know was that we had no actor up there. It was some stranger. We don't know who it was or what happened. So Mrs. Nelson's in the hall. Open the door, boys. Bring her in. And let's find out what happened to a tourist in Hollywood who got caught in the People Are Funny web. You went up to Mike Lyman's. Were there many people there at this time?
Yeah, it was crowded.
Uh-huh. Now, the manager was in on it, and he assigned you some tables.
Uh-huh.
Now, what did your first customer order? Do you remember?
He ordered the dinner.
The regular
complete
dinner.
Complete dinner, huh?
Now, what did you say?
I told him that he would enjoy the pickled pig feet.
And what did he say to that?
He said, no, I'd rather have the roast beef. And I said, oh, it's done to perfection. You will really enjoy it tonight. It's excellent.
The pickled pig's feet.
Mm-hmm.
But did you insult anybody? How did you insult him?
Well, I poured water for a table there of four, and I got some crumbs mixed in with it.
Were you very flip in your remarks with the customer?
I tried to be.
Did you insult any of them?
Well, they looked insulted.
Did anybody give you any tips?
No.
Now, Irv Atkins pointed out some middle-aged man who was an actor up there.
Yes.
And you walked over to him.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do then? What'd you say?
I put my hands on my hips and I said, now listen, I'm not going to have a date with you. You're already married. He looked at me and he says, well, I didn't ask you for a date.
Did any of the other people around hear this?
Yes, everybody was looking at me. He denied it, but he got awfully riled up and mad and he was speaking so loud.
Now, did anybody get mad at all?
Well, they were provoked, yes.
Uh-huh. Would you say, generally speaking, that the average American public will stand for more than you thought it would stand for or not?
No, they want to be served properly, I'm quite sure.
Uh-huh. And are you interested in meeting this gray-haired old man, this actor?
I don't know. I guess so.
We don't know who he is. He's no actor. In fact, we hope we'll never see him again. Wasn't that terrible? Our actor failed to show up, and so we just told her to point out anybody to you. Terrible mistake. Well, Mrs. Nelson, you were the victim of a little hoax, as usual, on this program, and also you performed a little experiment, which I hope will lead you to be happier at home with your husband, even though he is not, being an average American husband, as prolific in his praise of you as you'd like. Are you going to be happy to serve at home for a while again?
I certainly shall.
You go back to that little town in Idaho and glad to be there. And after coming here and doing such a good job, we'd like to have you take home with you a world-famous $350 Adler sewing machine in the Windsor desk model. Isn't that nice?
Oh, thank you very much.
Your choice of blonde or walnut finishes, it'll be wonderful for your home and for your children. and thanks from Milky Way. Thank Goodbye, you. Mrs. Nelson. No, next week on People Are Funny, we're going to try to get a man to fly without a plane, without a parachute. Will he do it? Tune in and find out. And now this is Art Linkletter saying goodnight for Milky Way and reminding you that you have only 4 more days to send in that funny experience for a chance at that grand prize of $1,000 cash or one of 10 $100 prizes. Now remember, the contest officially closes this Saturday, March 21st. But you still have time, so write your funny experience in 50 words or less. Mail with 2 wrappers from Milky Way or Forever Yours candy bars to Milky Way, Box 224, Hollywood, California. Do it now. Good night, folks. See you next Tuesday.
People Are Funny is brought to you by Milky Way, America's biggest-selling chocolate-covered candy bar, and by Milky Way's first cousin, that dark chocolate-covered favorite forever yours. Remember, when your taste tells you light, pure milk chocolate over chocolate malted milk nougat, ask for Milky Way. But when dark chocolate is your wish, forever yours is your dish. Milky Way, forever yours. Both quality candy bars made famous by Mars. This program was transcribed from Hollywood.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Lotion with the beforehand extra, and Vitalis for well-groomed hair bring you Duffy's Tavern, starring Archie himself, Ed Gardner. Here's a new and different way to care for your hand. It's with Truche, the beforehand lotion, a really different idea in hand lotions. Use Truche before you get to work, before you do dishes, before you put your hands in dishwater or do light laundry. Truche is so effective that it will guard your hands even in that hot, soapy water. But you can also use Truche as you use ordinary hand lotions, anytime your hands need a creamy, softening lotion. So get Truche and get an all-around hand lotion that also gives you before-hand protection, something no ordinary lotion gives you. Get Truche, the before-hand lotion, and get softer, lovelier hands.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern. Where do you eat meat to eat? Archie, the man, you're speaking. Duffy ain't here. Hello, Duffy. Huh? Yeah, quite a party here last night. Well, you know, it was the annual meeting of the Third Avenue Shillelagh and Friendship Society. So around 10 o'clock, everything was going along kind of quiet. You know, a few broken windows, and some cracked skulls, a couple of fractured ribs, and then suddenly it started. The rowdy element from Second Avenue moved in. Well, the first thing you know, the fight was on. Duffy, you should have seen the place. There were so many teeth scattered around, the floor looked like it was smiling. What a roar. Yeah. Yeah, after the battle, just to see what happened to people, we counted noses. with six missing. No, not people, noses. Well, look, I gotta hang up. I'm just checking a list of the damages here. Eddie.
Yes, Mr. Doctor.
Eddie, we gotta make a list of the damages for the insurance company.
Yeah.
Now, take this down.
Okay.
13 broken legs.
13 broken legs.
Yeah, two chairs, one table, and a tourist from Hoboken. Let's see. Articles missing. One sterling silver beer mug, value $500.
Roger, we ain't never had no $500 beer mug.
I said this was for the insurance company. Say, speaking of missing articles, where was you last night while the battle was going on?
Me? Oh, I was taking a walk.
How come?
I had a sudden craving to die of old age.
I'm a little ashamed of you, Eddie. I'm glad at least that I ain't the kind of a guy that runs away from a fight.
No, you would have to carry away.
Oh, yeah? Well, you should have been here last night.
What happened?
Well, there I was. You say you wasn't here last night?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, ain't talked to nobody that was here?
No.
Well, sir, there I was. Hey, back to the wall, see, with these three tough guys closing in on me. So I think fast, and I see there's only one thing to do. So I do it.
What?
I swing from the floor and knock all three of them out with one punch.
Three with one punch? Now, how is that possible?
I just hit them. I don't explain them. So, the next thing I do...
pick up the three guys and toss them into the gutter.
Who's telling this story?
Sorry.
So, like I was saying, I pick up these three guys and toss them into the gutter. Eddie, I was like a man biting a dog.
Oh, boy. Say, that must have been quite a battle last night.
Miss Duffy, all I know is any guy on Third Avenue that ain't got a broken nose this morning... as a dame. It's a lucky thing I was here to keep things from getting out of hand.
What did you do?
What did I do? All I did was... You say you wasn't here last night?
Right.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
And you ain't talked to nobody that was here?
No.
Well, sir, there I was. Think back to the wall. When these characters start rushing me, see? Six of them.
Now, hold it. A minute ago, there was only three.
A minute ago, I didn't know my own strength. So as I was saying, Miss Duffy, I let fly with me Sunday haymaker, see, and I knocked all six of them into the alley.
Six men with one punch? Archie, that don't make sense.
In the heat of battle, who stops for logic? What a brawl, though. As I start hitting these guys, they're laying all over the place. I'm telling you, I ain't never seen such a mess. Oh, and again.
Hi, I heard it was quite a shindig here last night.
Wasn't you here?
No.
Are you sure?
Sure.
You ain't talked to nobody that was here?
No.
Well, sir, there I was. And then back to the wall. 12 guys jumping me.
12?
Quiet, I'm rolling. So. Anyways, I pick out this big guy. He must have been 7 feet tall, see? Well. Fellas, I'd rather not talk about it.
Oh, go on, Arch. Tell us.
I'd rather not. Us unsung heroes have got sort of a code, what we call false modesty.
Oh, come on now. Tell us some more.
I'd rather not talk about it.
Okay, have it your way.
Will you quit interrupting? So as I was saying, this 7-foot bruiser starts picking on me, so I throw him over my shoulder, see, and bounce him on the floor a couple of times.
You mean... A 7-foot tall and you threw him over your shoulder?
It's an old Japanese leverage trick. what they call Harry Carry. Well, to make a long story short, before the night's over, I have mayhemed at least 12 guys, see?
Oh, boy. You know what? You always was a great fighter. I remember when you was in school, you could lick anybody in the 4th grade.
No wonder. At that time, he was in the 8th grade.
Well, just the same, I'll bet he's the bravest guy in the world. Right, Arch?
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Well, I would.
Well, I suppose after last night, I do have a terrific reputation.
Boy, but you're the greatest fighter in the world.
Well, now, Finnegan.
Look, Archie, I ain't the kind of guy that goes around looking for autographs, but do me a favor, will you?
What?
So I'll be able to tell me grandchildren, punch me in the nose.
Look, Finnegan, if I ever hit you, you won't have no grandchildren.
Oh, come on, Art. You're a friend of mine. Please, knock me out.
Sorry, Finnegan, but I got to save me strength for emergencies. Now, as I was saying, this guy was 7 feet tall.
Yeah,
see?
Yeah.
So no sooner do I get through with him than his big brother comes in.
About 8 feet tall.
Give or take an inch. Well, anyway, this guy comes up to me, see, and...
Hey, bartender, I'd like a drink.
Later, bud, I'm telling a story. So like I say, this 8-foot guy is toting a rod. He's standing there with his brass knuckles emptying the nickels out of the pinball machine. Well, right away, I can see that he's a troublemaker, see?
Hey, pal, I said that I would like a drink.
Look, will you stop interrupting? Now, where was I? Oh, yeah. So I goes over to him, and I says, look, chum, did you come in here looking for trouble? See?
Hey, look, Doc, I am becoming Ike. Am I gonna get that drink?
Quiet, will you? I'm doing the talking here.
Hey, bud, you ain't gonna be doing the talking very long if I shove me fist down your throat.
Why don't you suck this guy?
Quiet. The gentleman is talking. You were saying something, sir?
I was about to say that you are a stinking bartender.
Well, sir, I may not agree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it.
Just a minute, bud. You better not talk to Archie that way. You know, last night he beat up 40 guys like you.
Please, leave us not bore our guest. Now, look, what kind of a drink would you like, Mr.,
McGuike is the name. Spike McGuike. And now I don't want to drink because I don't like being ignored, and I don't like fresh bartenders, and I don't like you.
But, Mr. McGuike...
You talk too much. Good night, punk.
Oh, yeah, you and who else? Funny, you never think of them clever answers until it's too late. Well, sir, as I was saying...
Don't talk to me, Arch.
What's the matter?
Letting that McGuike push you around.
Well, Finnegan, and you know how hot-headed I am. It took a lot of self-control to keep so cool.
Cool? You was positively shivering.
But you said last night you beat up 12 guys. Arch, were you just lying?
Finnegan, you know, if I was lying, I'd have made it 14.
Well, then how come you was afraid of just one guy?
I wasn't afraid. It's just that I fight best when the odds is against me.
Well, all I know is when I stood there and saw McGuike insulting you and I saw you stand there and take it, I hate to say it.
What?
Arch, something died inside of me. Made me feel ashamed that I was a man.
Now, look, Clifton.
I don't like to say it, but goodbye, coward.
Look like you lost a friend.
Yeah, I'm really a little ashamed of myself, Eddie. I've known a guy all my life, and his friendship means a lot to me. I guess there's only one thing to do.
What?
Lick McGurk.
Are you kidding? One punch on the chin and you'd be out cold.
Are you inferring I have a glass jaw?
All I'm saying is the last guy that hit you there wound up with 7 years bad luck.
Nevertheless, I gotta show Finnegan I ain't no coward. No sacrifice is too great to keep a friend's friendship. Hey, wait a minute. Here he comes back.
Now look, Arch.
Finnegan, are you still talking to me?
Sure, can't you tell?
Well, sometimes it's hard. But anyhow, I got news for you. I'm going to fight McGuire.
Well, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I knew you wouldn't let me down, Arch. Shake.
Okay, put it there. Ouch!
Be careful, Finnegan. That's the hand that's going to knock out Spike McGurk.
Arch just makes me the happiest man in the world.
You see, Eddie, it don't make much to make a friend happy. All I got to do is go out and get myself killed. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale.
What you doing?
I'm training for the fight, Eddie. I'm doing my breathing exercises.
Yeah, after Spike McGurk gets through with you, you won't have to worry about breathing.
Oh, yeah, don't be so sure about that. You know, where I come from, we chew rust and spit nails.
That man is twice as big as you.
So what? Size ain't everything. Remember the story of David and Goliath? I'm the David type.
Well, you certainly can sling it.
Eddie, stop interrupting me training, will you? Now, where'd I put that glass of carrot juice?
Carrot juice?
Yeah, it gives you calcium.
What? All you got to do is wait, man. You get plenty of calcium during the fight.
What do you mean?
McGurk will knock your teeth down your throat.
Eddie, brute force ain't everything. Remember, in boxing, it takes brain as well as brawn.
Okay, so you're a two-time loser.
Oh, yeah? Well, just wait till I get in condition now. Give me another drink of that carrot juice.
Hey, Archie, what do you keep drinking that stuff for?
It's good for me, Miss Duffy. It puts hair on my chest.
Oh.
Care for some?
Hey, look, don't you think you better do some boxing?
Yeah, who can I use for sparring partner? Eddie, I don't like to ask you to do this. You know, boxing is a kind of a rough sport, but how about going a couple of rounds with me?
Be happy to.
Nothing doing, you're too anxious. Let's see, who else is there? How about you?
I happen to be a woman.
Who has to know?
No, thanks.
Okay, let's see. Who else is there?
Say, Arch.
Oh, hello, Joe.
Hey, I hear you're going to fight Spike McGurk.
That's right.
Do you really want to look good against him?
Well, certainly I do.
Then, before the fight, put a little Vitalis on your hair. Because with Vitalis on the hair, everybody looks good.
Tell me, why is that, Joe?
Because Vitalis and the 60-second workout tames down dry, unruly hair and helps keep it handsome and healthy-looking, and without a greasy patent leather shine. No mineral oil in Vitalis, you know.
No, just carrot juice.
Now, Vitalis contains only pure vegetable oil, and the Vitalis 60-second workout refreshes and stimulates your scalp, actually prevents hair and scalp dryness. So, Arch, take my tip. Before the fight, put a little Vitalis on your hair.
Well, why, Joe? The referee ain't gonna be a dame.
I know, but at least when they carry you out of the ring, you'll be well groomed. Oh.
Miss Archer, why don't you give up this fight with McGurk?
I can't, Eddie. I told you. I gotta prove to Finnegan that I ain't a coward. Besides, I'm getting in pretty good shape here. Feel this muscle. How does it feel like?
J-E-L-L-O!
Hey, Art, are you getting in shape?
Never felt better in my life, Finnegan.
Good, I'll go tell McGurk you're ready for it.
Just a minute. Leave us not be in a rush about this.
What? You ain't gonna let me down again, are you?
Well, no, it's just that I feel I could use a little more training. Eddie, the carrot juice, please. Seven, eight, nine, ten. Well, that takes care of the chest exercises. Eddie, measure me up again, will you?
Yeah. Let's see. Neck, 15 inches. Shoulders.
Something wrong?
No, I was just wondering, what keeps your collar from sliding down over your shoulder?
Hey, Art, you look in great shape.
Well, yes.
Shall I go get McGurk?
Well, we don't have to hurry. I ain't quite finished me training yet. Eddie, pass me the carrot juice, please.
Inhale. Exhale. Exhale. Inhale.
Well, how's it going, Art?
Pretty good, Finnegan.
You had plenty of carrot juice?
Yeah, loaded with it.
Good, then you won't mind the surprise.
What's the surprise?
Well, McGurk is on his way over.
That's nice. Would you mind to repeat that?
Well, I told him you was ready, so he's on his way over for the fight. And, Art, I want to tell you, I'm mighty proud of you. I'll go get you some more carrot juice.
McGurk is on his way over. Eddie, how am I going to get out of this? I can't fight this guy. I got my career to think of.
Your career?
Yeah, well, for fighting. Might ruin me fingers for mixing martinis.
Then maybe you should challenge him to a duel.
With swords?
Or pistol?
Eddie, you just give me an idea.
What?
How about I just challenge him to a debate?
Miss Arch, if you want to keep Finnegan's friendship, there ain't no way you can get out of this.
But, Eddie, me nerves, they're all jittery. Look, turn on the radio. Maybe some music will relax me, huh?
Okay.
Friends, do you need accident insurance?
Eddie, I said music.
Well, I'm trying.
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. My two front teeth. My two front teeth.
I'll try another station, then.
And what a fight it is at Madison Square Garden. The crowd is yelling for blood.
I'm sorry.
Leave it on. Maybe I'll get a few pointers.
What a massacre. Left him alone, lashes out, and once again, battling Donovan goes down. He gets up and runs into another slashing right, and then a left, and then another right. Donovan is now hanging on the ropes, and uh-oh! The referee is stopping the fight. It's a merciful end to a bitter battle, folks. Fight fans haven't seen a slaughter like this since that memorable night 6 years ago when Kid Hogan was so brutally beaten by that roughest fighter of all time, Spike McGurk.
Care for some carrot juice?
Did you hear that? That's the guy that's coming down here to malfeast me. Eddie, what am I going to do?
You got to get hold of yourself. Get some confidence.
I got plenty of confidence, but it's all in McGurk. maybe I should do the sportsman-like thing, huh?
What's that?
Get out of town.
Uh-oh. It's too late.
What do you mean?
Look what just come in the door.
Spike McGurk. Oh, quick, Eddie. Eddie, we got to act fast.
What you going to do?
Well, there's only one thing we can do, Eddie.
Yeah?
You throw the bum out.
Throw him out. Man, I'm buying this gentleman a drink.
Oh, no.
See, I was tipped off that a certain pony has been begging for a fight, so that I thought I would drop over and oblige the crumb.
Good evening, sir.
May I bid you good evening, Mr. McGurk?
Who are you?
Friend of the loser.
Well, here he is, Josh. Go ahead. Tell him more.
Now, look, McGurk,
That's telling him.
Give me a chance, Eddie. I'll tell him.
Now, first, let me tell you what I think of you, see? I don't like the way you look. I don't like the way you talk. I don't like the way you act. In fact, I don't like anything about you.
Well, none of us is perfect.
I hope I wasn't right when I called you a coward.
Okay, McGurk, would you care to step outside?
Would you repeat that?
Would you care to step outside?
Well, let's go.
Okay, you go outside and I'll stay inside.
Come on, quit stalling.
But McGurk, we got a rule here at the tavern. No fighting allowed without boxing gloves. Right, Eddie?
Right.
And we don't happen to have no boxing gloves. Right, Eddie?
Right.
Arch, there's boxing gloves right there on the wall.
I wonder if his friendship is worth it.
Come on, Arch. I'll help you put the gloves on.
Well, we all got to go sometime. Okay, Finnegan.
Hey, Eddie, help me with my gloves, will you?
Yeah, okay, champ. Look, Mr. McGurk, come here, sir.
Yeah?
Could you kind of take it easy on Mr. Archer? You know, sort of leave him living a little bit?
Why should I?
Well, you see, he ain't such a bad guy. You see, the reason he talked himself into this fight is on account of his friend, Mr. Finnegan. See, he didn't
He didn't want him to think he was a coward.
Oh, so that's it, eh? Hey, yeah, that's funny. I can understand how the guy feels. I remember I was a little scared once before a fight. I'll never forget the look in me kid brother's eyes. Oh, he lost all his faith in me that night. I can understand how this Archie feels. Eddie, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you. I think I am going to let him win.
Oh, thank you, Miss McGraw. That's nice of you.
Well, I got the gloves on.
Well, that's good. Let's fight.
You realize, sir, this is your last chance to back out.
Cut the conversation, will you? Come on. Come on. Hit me.
Just a second. Mercy me. I think I smelled something burning in the kitchen.
Come back here. I'm in a hurry. Now, look, will you just make a fist, hold out your arm, and I'll run into it.
Wait a minute. I just remembered I got to go over to the library. I got a book that's overdue.
Arch, don't be scared. Last night you beat up 12 guys.
Last night I was a much younger man.
My former friend, I'm afraid that you are a coward.
Okay. That did it. McGurk, here it comes. There!
Ouch. Please, mister, do not hit me no more. I have had enough, and you have emerged victorious.
Oh, did you hear that? Victorious! Boy, Archie, I'm proud of you.
Thank you, Finnegan.
Well, chaps, so long and congratulations.
Just a minute. Come back here.
Huh?
I ain't through with you, McGurk.
Mr. Archie, now, please.
Put out of this, Eddie. Look, McGurk. Yeah? I don't like your face. I don't like the way you talk. And I don't like you.
Now, look, pal, will you leave well enough alone?
Don't talk that way to me, you punk. Put up your dukes.
Ah, there's blood on the moon tonight.
Hey, pal, I am trying to be nice to you, but don't push your luck too far.
Yeller, huh? Take this, McGurk.
Arch, speak to me. Oh, a dirty McGurk. Eddie, give me that bottle. Hey, look, McGurk, your shoelace is untied.
It is?
Yeah. Now, take that. Oh, that did it. Now, Eddie, let's pick Arch up.
All right.
Hey, where am I?
Oh, you all right, Arch?
Oh, what happened? Hey, look at McGurk. Out cold on the floor.
That's right.
You see, fellas, that carrot juice is pretty strong stuff. And after this, Finnegan, when you talk about somebody being a coward, look the other way, will you?
It's time now to leave Duffy's Tavern for this evening, but let's meet here again at the same time next Wednesday when our guests will be Ann Southern and Jimmy Durante. Duffy's Tavern is brought to you by Vitalis for well-groomed hair and Truché, the hand lotion with the beforehand extra. Each Wednesday, Bristol Myers brings you Duffy's Tavern and Mr. District Attorney, which follows immediately over most of these stations.